Let's turn in God's Word now to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 15. Esther chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, beginning in verse 1. These are God's words. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Madasa the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month. So the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof. And to every people after their language, and the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. A copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. Those are God's words. My friends, you remember that in God's providence, Esther, one of the covenant people of God, of the Jews, was made queen. And this, we will see, would prove to be for the deliverance of all of God's people, His covenant people in Persia at the time, from the plot that begins here in this chapter against God's people. You see first here that there are people from all, really all over the world that are part of Persia at this time, because they've taken over Babylon, which was the same as we've learned in Isaiah, even called the whole world Babylon was, and so Persia has taken that over. Also see that the Jews, although many had gone back to Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, that there are many of the Jews dispersed among all the provinces of the kingdom of Persia at this time. And we see verse 1 that Haman is made the king's right-hand man, his favorite, the king's favorite. And then through verse 4, many, because of this, and according to the king's commandment, many bowed in reverence to him, that is, worshipped him. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, did not. And this made Haman full of wrath. Verse 5, verse 6, because of this, Haman sought to destroy not just Mordecai, but all the Jews from all the provinces of Persia. And then through verse 13, Haman, by his malicious suggestion, gets an order from the king on the 13th day of the first month of the year to have all the Jews annihilated on a certain day, the 13th day of the 12th month of the year. And so 11 months after this, destruction of the Jews would take place by the order of the king. The order then was dispersed throughout all the kingdom. And that's this chapter. Friends, these are the sort of attacks that come upon the followers of Christ today. Still, by nations and governments. And what ought we to think of them? We can be fearful of them, or trust the Lord to work in His good providence to deliver His people according to His will. And He will always deliver His people according to His will. Might not be in body, but He will deliver you to eternity, if not in body, on this earth. And we're going to find out in this book that we are encouraged to trust the Lord's good providence. Trust His plan. Because when those persecutions and sufferings come upon the people of God, that's part of God's plan. And it's part of His good plan that He all works all things together for your good when those things come upon you. And so we need to be moved here, or remember that the whole book as a whole, we're learning to trust the Lord's good providences even in the midst of dark providences. The trust that He will work it out for our good. And that's the background. This chapter is the background to seeing that in this book. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful even for when persecutions and sufferings come upon us, because we know that You're going to magnify Yourself through them, and You're going to glorify Yourself through them. And each time You're going to work it out for our good. There have been many for all of us here who have been Your people for a time at least, who've gone through great trials, great agonies, heartache, even being moved through our struggles of faith to be downcast and fear man and fear the things of the world because we're not perfect, we're weak. And yet every time, Father, or what will happen in the future, every time, Father, You have worked it for our good. You've always healed us or strengthened us to the exact amount that we need to be strengthened. You and Your power have worked things that are beyond our comprehension. And we could sit here all day recounting these things just in our lives, not to mention all the things that You've done for all of Your people throughout all time, some of which are recounted to us in the Scriptures. We often remember Job who lost almost all things all of his children, all of his property, and yet was blessed with far more in the end. I think of Joseph, who was sold into slavery. And yet, because of this act of selling Joseph into slavery, his brothers and his family were saved in the end. Though they meant it for evil, you meant it for good. And on. You've done this many times throughout history. And Father, we give you praise for this, that you're the God who always works together all things for good, those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And every single one of them has worked for your glory. And here we have been given in the dark providences that come upon our lives. Father, you have given the Gordetskys something like that. And yet we know now that you will work it for their good. We don't exactly know how, but we trust you that you will, and we pray that you would put it within Phil and Julie's heart to trust you, that you will work it for their good. And Father, we do pray that you'll uphold Phil as he struggles with the torment of knowing that he's hurt someone, though not by his intent. And based upon the negligence, it seems, of the young lady. But Father, we do pray that you would uphold him and his soul, and he would trust in you. We pray even through this that that young lady would be healed in her body, and that you would give an occasion here that she would hear the gospel and be saved even through this. And Father, we pray that you would bring about the growing of your kingdom through these dark providences, as you often have throughout history. And so, Father, be with the Gordetskys. Provide for them. We pray that Phil would be able to keep his job. If not, that he would be able to have a better job in the end and quickly, so that the family would be provided for. We pray in the meantime, while they need provision, we pray that we would step up as the body of Christ to help them and to serve them in this time. Father, we pray that we would be zealous in prayer for them. And Father, we pray that you would provide. Father, we're thankful that Sheila is here today. Thankful that she's healing. Though it was not in her timing, your timing is perfect. I pray that she would, and we would all trust your timing. And you would heal according to how you will heal. We pray for a full healing if it's according to your will. Father, there have been many who have been sick recently. We pray that you would heal them, and we're thankful to those who are here today. And Father, we are coming to the Lord's Supper today, many of us, and sitting at your table. And yet, it would be wrong of us to not concern ourselves for those who have turned away from you, as reminding us of the warning of turning away from you is not being allowed at your table anymore. And if continuous rebellion exists, that they are cut off even from the bride of Christ, from you completely. And we do not desire this for anyone. We pray for John McQuash, Deborah's father. Pray that you would turn his heart back to you, that he would not trust his judgments, his questions, his logic, but that he would trust your word and leave the things that are not revealed to you. And Father, we pray that Deborah and the rest of the family would not be harmed by John's unbelief, but that they would be strengthened not only to serve you and honor you and worship you, but Father, that they would continue serving their father and honoring him, and husband as well, and that they would see their good works, even Lillian's good works, and be crushed by the goodness of your mercy in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and believe and repent of his sins. That's what you teach wives in 1 Peter. So we pray that that would be done, if it would be your will. Father, we pray for Emily, who has gone out from us. She seems to not trust many things of your word. And the reports from Shane are very concerning of where she continues to go. And so we pray that you will turn her back to you, and she would trust your word alone and stand upon the authority of your word alone, and not on the things and the feelings of the world and the feelings within her own heart, but that those feelings would be sanctified by your word, by the truth. And you would call her to worship again with us, if that would be your will. And pray for the gardeners who have completely forsaken the good news of Jesus Christ, who have turned from you and have aligned themselves with that Antichrist, of which they must come out to be freed. And so, Father, we pray that you would turn them to you, the living and true God and Christ alone, that they would not stand upon the authority of any other writings but your word alone as the foundation, as Christ being the foundation who speaks. These, friends, are all, Father, are all warnings to us of what can happen when we turn from you and your word, when we forsake the gospel, or forsake your worship, or turn to the things of the world and hearing what they say. And so, Father, we pray that we would be warned by these things and seek after the truth. Not only Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and you, Father, and the Spirit, as the triune God, but your word too, which is truth. And that we would put aside every lie. Father, forgive us of our sins. As we come to your table, we have this week examined ourselves, hopefully, and even if we haven't, we pray now that as we examine our hearts now, that we might come to you and sit at your table. Father, we pray that you would examine us, shine a light into the dark recesses of our hearts and show our sin. And where we have sinned, we pray that you would turn us from them. These things which we have rebelled against you and rejected you and blasphemed your name, dishonored your day, not honored our superiors and inferiors, our peers, committed murder in our hearts with hatred and anger and frustration and with even bitterness. We've gossiped and slandered. We've stolen from you. We have not honored you with every ounce of being that you've given to us, as well that we have not honored you with every millisecond of every day, but wasted it often on worldly things and pleasures and entertainments that don't honor you. We've coveted so much, and yet you're the God who always provides for us exactly what we need. We've committed adultery and lusted in our hearts and our bodies. And Father, turn us from these ways, that we would have no other gods before us but you, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that we would not take unto ourselves idols or images, that the worship today would not be false in any way, but that you would perfect it in Christ your Son. And so in all these things, Father, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, and you would turn us from our evil ways, our continuing in sin. If there are any here who don't know you and are still in their sins completely, Father, we pray that you would turn them by your Spirit today and grant them life. Those souls which are dead would be made alive by you. And you would grant them the grace to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation by faith alone. Father, again, forgive us. And we're thankful that you are God who does forgive. You promise. And when we come and confess our sins and we truly turn to Christ and turn from those sins, you forgive us and pardon us of all our iniquity. Even you've given us our great advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so, Father, we pray that you would receive these prayers and forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ alone. In whose name we pray. Amen.